I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But it's not quiet. It's blowing a bloody trumpet.
Saxophone.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this. Do you know every time we're doing the 10 seconds of silence?
Yeah.
Do you know what you look like?
What?
Hold!
I swear to fuck, it is so difficult. You have made me so fucking anxiety ridden every time we start recording. Hey, this could be the starter.
Yeah. So basically, what we're on about is before we start recording, I do 10 seconds of silence once I hit record. So it just picks up background noise. And then I mute that. So for the rest of the episode, you can't hear the background noise.
Meanwhile, I'm turning purple because I'm so afraid to take a single fucking breath.
Yeah, I have to wait for it to stop clearing a throat, sniffing a nose.
I'm really bad for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the breath thing, I think you're too overboard with, because surely you want it or anything like that. Well, we don't want that. No, but the breath thing, because it's going to pick that up. Because obviously when I'm speaking, if I'm doing like a long sentence, I'm in between. You don't
I mute that and all, though.
I know, but if you heard me breathing in the background, that's going to make it easier for you if it's kind of silenced.
Yeah.
But it's shot to shit now. I live in fear every time we do a 10-second of silence.
Yeah. See, you said you'd got a start for us, but then we've just done this.
Well, I think we could still quickly go over that one.
Okay.
I think the point still remains. So the other day I was eating a bag of Revels. I fucking love Revels. They seem to have come back. They were a big thing in the 2000s. They kind of phased out, I feel. They weren't as easy to get.
The shit.
I love them.
I think they went out of, like, they were discontinued because no one was buying them.
Around 2010, you stopped seeing them, wouldn't you say? Around that kind of...
I haven't seen them for about 20 years.
Fuck off 20 years.
I've never bought a packet.
You've never bought a packet of Revels?
No, I don't like orange. I don't like coffee.
Well, this is why
I don't like raisins.
This is what I wanted to talk to you about. So I fucking love them. And like I said, they're not that common, but I have noticed them starting to creep back in. I've seen them in Tesco and I've seen them in Aldi. And every time I see them, I got to get a bag. Yeah, it's sweet nectar. Love them.
Mm.
So I was sat there. Actually, do Americans have Revels? I don't know if they're in the US. They probably are, but rebranded with a different name.
Hang on, I'll quickly look it up.
Like, I know Americans have Galaxy, but it's called something else over there.
Okay, in America they do, but I think it's down to us British. It says the colonists who fought for the independence for British rule during the American Revolution.
Revels, the sweets, not rebels.
I thought it were rebels.
No, revels.
Okay, so the British started Revels in America. Okay. Revels in America refers to both a series of seasonal stage performances and confectionery, with the performances focusing on cultural and seasonal traditions.
Okay, well, confectionery, so they have revels.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what the fuck I'm on about. Revels are fucking lethal. You got a whole...
Right. Well, hang on. Let me end this right now. What's your favourite in the packet?
Either the coffee or the orange, I think.
Are your favourite?
Yeah, I love them. Do you know why?
Have you hit your head?
No, right. I like the kind of the little chocolate coin ones as well, yeah. But I can get them. The Galaxy do little, they're called counters. Yeah, I think. I can get them elsewhere. And this was kind of the argument I wanted to have, but just give me a sec. That's why I like the coffee and the orange, because I can't get them anywhere. I fucking love them.
Chocolate orange. You can't get chocolate orange.
No, anywhere. No, no. But those specific ones with the orange center with the chocolate on the outside, they're fucking beautiful. I love them. But yeah. I like all of them. The one I least like, which is strange because it's usually the first one I go for in another sweet, is the toffee ones, because they're too hard. They'll pull a filling out.
Suck it.
I don't have time for that. You know, I'm busy.
Okay.
No, but that's kind of getting back to the point of what's your favourite one. I was sat there, you know, fucking happy as can be, like a pig in shit with my bag of Revels, having the time of my life, cup of tea, you know, brilliant. And Neil turns to me and was like, the Maltesers, they're the best ones. Like, I don't even know why you'd bother with the rest of them. And it's like, if I wanted Maltesers, yeah, I'd buy a fucking bag of Maltesers. Yeah. That's why they're the shit ones in Revels.
I don't see the point of Revels at all.
But that's...
If you like chocolate orange, buy a Terry's chocolate orange. Done.
Where can I get the little chocolate coffee ones though with them?
I'm sure there is coffee chocolate.
And that leads me on to my next point, what pisses me off about you. Because like the Malteser, you know, statement was outrageous. Because again, I'll just buy some fucking Maltesers. Why would I buy Revels for the Maltesers? I think that was actually what you were saying. I think you're saying I only eat the Maltesers. I think you were trying to angle for the Malteser ones in my packet.
No, I was saying to you, be very careful. If you are offering me one, be very careful what you're handing me, because if it's raisin, coffee or orange, I'm spitting it back at you.
But see, this one, I wouldn't buy Maltesers. And that's why they're a disappointment in the Revels, because I can go get them if I want them. So keep them the fuck out of my Revels. I still eat them now. But just you saying about the coffee thing, like you're very upset by coffee.
Yeah.
I find it really weird. I love coffee.
I do.
In all... No, but this is what I'm saying. In all branches of coffeedom, you only will drink coffee. You do not like anything coffee flavored. You will not eat coffee cake, nothing.
No.
Only to drink.
Yes. Like, that's the way God intended it.
What about chocolate coffee beans?
What?
Chocolate coffee beans. Would you eat them?
I've never had chocolate coffee beans, but I have had it where if you go to a proper Italian restaurant, I can't remember what drink it is. Is it
proper?
Yeah, I've been to a proper Italian restaurant. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to go for like business meetings and stuff. And
who did?
When I worked at the printing place, he used to take, once the profits were up, he'd take us out like once a month.
Oh yeah, he was like a real showy guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, and they used to bring this drink around where you'd have a shot of it, but there'd be a piece of coffee in the bottom.
Coffee bean.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember we'd drink it and we'd had like three.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had like three shot glasses in front of them. And they looked at mine and went, why are your glasses empty? And I went, what do you mean? And they went, didn't they give you a coffee bean? And I went, yeah. They went, what did you do? And I went, I ate it. He says, you're not supposed to eat it. It's supposed to flavour the drink.
Yeah.
But you leave it in the glass. But I was just knocking the whole thing.
True
back.
Class with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't there a tequila you can get with a worm in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that. So, got a couple of shout outs to do, actually, haven't we?
We do indeed. First, we wanted to shout out Dead Inside Design. So, Jade over at Dead Inside Design, well, I mean, her designs are fucking deadly, aren't they? They're so... I didn't actually even mean that. The dead inside, the deadly thing. That's just a very Irish way of saying it. No, her designs are amazing. She also does colouring books. And they're fucking... I was about to say they're fucking lethal. I'm getting very Irish here.
Yeah. They're deadly.
They're fucking deadly.
Savage.
Lads. Savage, yo. No, she does colouring books and they're pretty fucking cool. She has multiple different styles. She has, you know, tattoo themed ones, Halloween themed ones, 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
Bit of the old nostalgia there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just wanted to shout Jade out. We think her products are amazing. And we also have a discount code for you if you are interested in getting a colouring book.
Yeah, she told us she's put it on a website. So if you use code MORTAL, you'll get a discount. So for our listeners, use code MORTAL, they'll get a 10% discount. I've never been bothered about colouring books, but after meeting her and looking at her website, I'm like,
oh no, they're fucking dead.
I'm like, going to use some.
But I mean, she has that great mix, whether you're into the more kind of cutesy side or the kind of darker gothic horror kind of side.
Yeah.
They're really good. They're great.
But it's not only that. It's if you're looking for having something drawn for yourself, for a logo or whatever, she's an illustrator as well.
Yeah.
She's a woman of melee talents.
Melee
talents.
Melee. She's also a fighter, lads. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking to book her for anything, you know, give Jade a shout.
She's a woman of many talents.
She is indeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're looking for a colouring book, lads, or anything else, design-wise. Well, I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to just be, you know, I don't need to be hounding her with your requests. But go check out Dead Inside Design.
And anyone who buys one of her colouring books, I will make sure I get the same one and I will challenge you to colouring contest.
I
will stay in the lines.
I don't really think of colouring as something, you know, competitive.
I'll make it competitive.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Obviously.
You can make anything competitive, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm. So another shout out is a new Patreon member. We have Scott or Scotty.
Yeah. So as soon as I saw this Patreon member, the first thing what popped into my head is the most underrated, right? If you were to think of a song you heard in a movie that stayed with you, Scotty doesn't know.
Okay, two things. I'm right with you. As soon as I saw the name Scott pop up, I was like, Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah,
Scotty doesn't know. Not underrated. I think majority of people know that. Scotty doesn't know. Don't tell Scotty. Because Scotty doesn't know.
So his name is Eurotrip.
So thank you, Eurotrip. No, but I mean, Scotty does know because he went over to Patreon and signed up for some bonus content.
But he doesn't know what he's getting.
That okay, so back around.
He's going to listen to Neil's Nuggets and then knock him back when we're sat there pissed up, just chatting away. And he's going to be like, I didn't know this was coming.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be quality content and it's just you two fucking idiots.
Yeah.
So we're back around to Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, like Neil said, you know, thank you, Eurotrip. We really appreciate your support.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Right. So everything done. What have you got for us today?
Today we are going to be talking about William Leslie Arnold.
Now, oh, yeah. Okay.
With a name like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be something else. What? Ponce.
Triple barrel name.
No, Leslie.
Oh.
He's up to no good.
Okay.
William Leslie Arnold was born to parents Bill and Opal Arnold on the 28th of August 1942 in Omaha, Nebraska. Opal was a stay-at-home mother, and his father Bill owned a door-to-door sales company which sold cleaning products among other household goods.
Opal?
Opal. Mm.
Isn't that a drug? Oh, that's opium.
Yeah. Opal's like it's a stone, isn't it?
Opal's the, like what you call Vauxhall.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only Vauxhall in the UK. It's Opal everywhere else.
Why are we so different?
Because you have to be difficult.
Now, the business, I assume, had been good to them, as it afforded the family to be a two-car household, including a new 1957 Mercury. From the outside, their lives seemed near perfect. But of course, that's never the case. William, who would generally go by his middle name, Leslie, was described as an intelligent, rambunctious boy. He had pretty good grades, a consistent B student, and showcased his passion for music through playing saxophone for a school band and performing at school dances.
I can't see how someone has gone from learning and playing instruments for school, because we know them type of people, I'm not going to elaborate, has gone on to be talked about on a true crime podcast.
What do you mean?
Well, they're usually a bit...
timid. Soft. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Yeah.
It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for.
But it's not quiet. It's blowing a bloody trumpet.
Saxophone.
Saxophone.
Thank you very much.
He was a massive fan of Elvis, which was evident in his personal style. He was also said to have been quite high strung, with one of his friends stating, quote, "He was wound a little tighter than the average, but he was more intelligent than the average person and very talented." His frustrations manifested physically. One of his hobbies was building model planes, and if he was having a bit of trouble putting it together, that was it, smashed to bits.
That sounds like me.
Or when he was waxing the family car and the wax wouldn't take, he smashed his fist onto the roof of the car, denting it.
But the paintwork was gleaming.
Gleaming.
See, like, the only way I'd really lose my rag would be, like, board games. Unless it's Monopoly, because no one will beat me at Monopoly.
Because you're a cheater.
I'm not a cheater. I have a fucking strategy and it works and I don't tell anyone what it is.
Let me guess, just buy everything. Everything you land on, I buy it.
No. Like, I do, but that's not my strategy.
Okay.
I might reveal it on Patreon. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone else use this as a strategy, but I can't remember the last time I lost in Monopoly. But any other game, if someone's beating me, the board goes up in the air.
Mm.
It's a stupid game, isn't it? You know?
It's wrong, not you.
Yes.
His brother Jim also commented on his aggressive behaviour. Quote, "Les's temper had no stopper once it exploded. I always had the feeling he didn't understand why Mom and Dad had me when they had him already."
I've noticed your lisp has gone.
that last episode, I don't know if any of you guys caught it. It was in the oddity, wasn't it? Somehow, when I was speaking, I said Thandy instead of Sandy.
Thandy?
Thandy. No, sorry, it wasn't the last episode. It was the episode before.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. It was Yuba County 5, Part 2. During the oddity in that episode, I said Thandy instead of Sandy. And somehow I didn't hear myself say it. And Neil listening didn't hear me say it. I'm guessing you had zoned out at that point. And then we couldn't really edit. We couldn't do anything about it. We had to kind of just leave it in.
I heard it in the edit and I was like, well, it's in now.
It's in now. There's nothing we can do about it. So
it's enjoy.
Enjoy my temporary lisp. It's cured now until it isn't. So like I said, his brother Jim had commented on his aggressive behaviour. He also recalled how his brother would beat him. But before doing so, Leslie would cover his hands with socks to avoid leaving any marks. Although Jim would frequently suffer physical abuse at the hands of his older brother, the bulk of Leslie's frustrations and resentment were directed towards his mother. Now, Opal was said to have been the head of the household, and what she said goes. to the extent of which, you know, we can't know for sure. But according to Leslie, she was a cold, controlling woman. Instances like her forcing him to cut the grass over and over again until she deemed it to be good enough. She also didn't take much of an interest in Leslie as a person. Music was clearly an important part of his life, and she chose to mock his taste in music. Or if he was competing in sports, she just chose to never attend. Well, kids are going to pick up on that.
Yeah.
If you're not showing an interest, especially when your, you know, your little darling baby boy is getting the affection and attention. Yeah. He felt as though, due to her favouritism of his younger brother, he was being isolated from the family. And it seems he may have been right. A neighbour of theirs recalled, quote, "Jimmy was treated like an only child." One of his friends also noticed the different treatment between the boys. Quote, "It seemed to me his mother was excessively and compulsively hard on him, and Leslie would become extremely agitated, beyond normal." As Leslie grew older and learned to drive, this became another source of tension between he and his mother. As a teenager and one that clearly wasn't happy with his family dynamic, he was wanting to get out of the house. Leslie claimed that she would agree for him to take the car on a particular day, and last minute, she would change her mind. You know, very frustrating. Again, he's a teenager, he wants to go out. And he's also got a girlfriend named Crystal who he was reportedly crazy about. And I'm sure probably wanted to spend all his time with her.
Yeah.
But of course, Mammy didn't approve.
They usually don't. What?
No, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying. But I love when you say some of that as if it's like words of wisdom from Neil. She described Crystal's family as being trash, which... A tad harsh. According to Leslie, this was down to Crystal's father being a truck driver, and his mother looked down on her family for that.
Craig's going to be pissed.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the US or maybe that time in the US, but over this part of the world, a truck driver's a good job.
My father were a truck driver.
He was a truck. I'm offended.
He's still alive. He just doesn't truck drive anymore. But he was a truck driver.
It's good wages being a truck driver.
He was a truck driver when Yorkshire Ripper were about.
Yeah, Neil's father was the Yorkshire Ripper.
Right. Okay.
Either way, this caused huge amounts of friction between the two and would lead to explosive arguments, resulting in Leslie being kicked out of the house on multiple occasions.
Sorry, he's got a car. Kip in it.
He doesn't have a car. He would use the family car.
Nick it.
So that was kind of the issue. So he would use the car, but because it was his parents' car, she would revoke his right to use it.
Yeah, okay.
His brother doesn't necessarily disagree with what his brother has said, but does think that it's not entirely fair and that Leslie possibly had been more favourable to himself in these accounts. It's true that he'd been kicked out of the house, but one of the times it was actually Leslie who had stormed out after refusing to go on a family trip and instead opting to spend his time with Crystal.
But if there's something I wish I could change about how I was before, is that I put myself first more than I did.
What?
If there's something I could change about how I was before, like when I was growing up, is that I would put myself first.
Meaning what?
Well, like, he wants to spend time with Crystal. Let him spend time with Crystal. It's what he wants to do.
I agree with you.
Is it hurting him?
No. So, I mean, as far as I know, no.
So, like, obviously we're covering him so he's a piece of shit, but at this point, he just wants to spend time with his bird.
Yeah, but you never had that situation. Your parents always liked your partners. I'm probably the least liked.
But I weren't with him long enough for him to find out if they liked him or not.
What are you talking about? You're with people for years.
Oh, but before that...
They don't count.
A week was average.
Now, Leslie wasn't alone in being kicked out of the house. His father, who was a more timid person, had also been locked out of the house by his mother. But it seems he didn't want to rock the boat and just kind of viewed this as part of the course. The living situation appeared to be incredibly volatile. With Leslie's apparent cries for attention, and his mother was not in the best mental health, having been hospitalised twice for nervous breakdowns. And also, you know, don't forget we're talking about the 50s here and she was a woman. Hysterical.
God forbid.
Well, no, women I mean,
what?
What?
Yeah.
Women's healthcare still isn't taken seriously to this day.
Oh,
now by the 50s, the whole hysteria thing wasn't as much of a thing. But I mean, again, a woman, any type of issue, you're generally kind of treated like shite. I just mean, I highly doubt, being female and also any type of mental health issues, I highly doubt she was receiving adequate treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to be great for the situation. On the 27th of September, at about 11 a.m, Leslie was on the phone to Crystal. And as he would usually do, he sat on the bottom of the stairs with the phone cord fed underneath the door in order to have some privacy while talking.
See, people will not know what that's like now.
No.
Don't you miss them days?
Yeah. Like, I miss a house phone.
Yeah. Like, yeah, people aren't going to know what that's like.
People have to be reached, like you have to be, what's the word? You have to be reachable.
I don't think we've got a lot of them, but for our younger listeners, just imagine if you wanted to go and play with your mates, you wanted to hang out with your mates, and they didn't answer the house phone, you had to get off your ass and walk to their house and knock on their fucking door.
Horrific. I had to use my legs. No, but that is a fair point, though. I hate that, you know, you have to be available at all times now.
You couldn't get a fucking Uber.
Like when a workplace expects you to be available all the time for contact.
Yeah.
No, piss off.
Yeah.
I'm off duty.
Yeah.
Go away.
They'll message me on WhatsApp. It's time to get fucked.
I love when they do that because it's like, this means nothing to me. This isn't an official work. Like, we have
An app for it. I tell them to get fucked. And they're like, you can't speak to me like that. I'm a manager.
I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, this is my personal phone. It's my personal WhatsApp in my personal time. Mm. Get fucked.
That's it. So, like I said, Leslie's sat on the bottom of the stairs. He's got the phone cord underneath the door. He's just trying to have a little chitty chat with Crystal in private, or as private as it can be. But Opal couldn't resist getting a dig in. She opened the door just long enough for her to let him know that his girlfriend was, quote, no good. Leslie, understandably, was agitated by this, and he told his mother if she continued with her behaviour that she'd be sorry.
Oh. Do you know if I said that to my mum, there'd be no Mortal Musings podcast. I wouldn't be in it anyway.
Well, Opal felt the same way. She was having none of it, and she fired back by telling him that he was not going to the drive-in that night, as he had planned to do with Crystal.
He got off lightly.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Receiving that news, Leslie lashes out and punches the wall before being sent upstairs to his room. After spending time listening to his music and stewing over the situation, he goes back downstairs and begins arguing with his mother again. She tells him to get out and come back once he's calmed down, so he goes for a walk. This is when Leslie says, quote, I got a crazy idea in my head.
Oh, God. This is where it takes a turn.
Not half.
Not eighth.
At 2:30 p.m., Leslie makes his way into his parents' bedroom and to their closet, where they kept their 22 caliber semi-automatic Remington rifle.
Remington.
He makes his way down to the dining room, where he holds the gun to his mother. Opal laughs at him and says, "What are you going to do? Shoot me?"
That's exactly what I was going to do.
Well, now Leslie says that he had no intention of actually causing any physical harm to her. It was more of a just, "I'm serious, leave me alone, stop with this behaviour." But once he heard those words uttered in an antagonistic manner, he pulls the trigger. Opal drops to the floor, screaming in pain. Leslie walks over to her, holds the gun to her chest, and fires a further 6 shots.
Six? With a Remington?
Well, he would later say, quote, "I can't explain it. She seemed in pain, and I didn't want to hurt her anymore, but I just kept shooting." So just after Leslie had shot his mother, his father arrives home from the supermarket. Bill sees his wife laid on the floor and the gun in his son's hand. His immediate reaction was to run and take a swing at his son, but he misses. Leslie raises the gun and fires a shot at his father. Bill falls to the floor and Leslie also shoots him another 6 times.
Can't help but feel more sorry for Bill.
I mean, Bill kind of just got caught in the...
Yeah. He was just trying to protect his wife.
Well, I mean, that's a very...
But he weren't antagonising Leslie.
It's a very shocking thing to walk into. So your wife is on the floor, dead.
Yeah.
But then you turn to your left or whatever, and you see your son holding the gun. Your fucking mind will be melted.
Yeah.
Trying to fucking comprehend what has just happened. Realising the gravity of what he had done, Leslie runs to the sitting room, and he curls up on the sofa and breaks down crying. He sat there for about 30 minutes, trying to regain his composure. He doesn't know what to do. Do I just tell somebody what happened, or do I try and hide what I've done? Can you guess what he decided to, what option?
Well, I'm guessing option B, but I don't know how. It's going to be very hard to cover up 6 Remington shots to a chest. That will have been all over the room.
Well, you are right. Leslie makes the decision to hide the bodies. Leslie drags both of his parents through the kitchen and down the stairs into the basement, and he also disposes of the now blood-soaked rug in the dining room. He then calls Rose Grossman, a friend of the family, and gives her a story as to why his parents aren't going to be home and asks if she can look after Jim for a while. She agrees, and Leslie brings Jim to her home.
What you said about rolling up the rug? The floorboards would be fucking desecrated.
Mm.
Like, 6 point-blank shots with a Remington would have gone through the floor.
Yeah, I assume, you know, the immediate cleanup was get that fucking out of here, drag a new one in, because, yeah, the floor would be fucked.
Yeah. You'd fall in it. You'd fall through the rug.
Well, it was a rifle, not a shotgun.
Oh.
Yeah.
I heard shotgun.
Did I say shotgun, or is this you running away with yourself?
Probably me. Yeah. I heard Remington. You hear Remington, you immediately go for shotgun.
I don't know much about guns. I'm just reporting the facts.
A Remington shotgun is it was my favorite gun in Black Ops 2. It's a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you did it better than me. So anyway, Leslie has cleaned up the scene and he has then brought his brother over to Rose Grossman's home. So from Jim's point of view, his parents have been murdered and he has no fucking idea.
Yeah.
He's just staying over at Rose's house.
Yeah.
Rosie, old Rosie. Rosie. But Leslie, I mean, he had had a pretty full on day, you know, with the murder, the cleanup and deceiving his loved ones. But he still had one thing left on the agenda for the day. He had a date with Crystal.
Wait, you can't forget that.
After spending the day running around like a headless chicken or a chicken with its head cut off, he gets himself cleaned up and heads out to pick up Crystal in his parents' car. Leslie, Crystal and her brother also tagging along head to the drive-in where they watch No Time for Sergeants and The Undead. After the movies, they grab some burgers and malts and then Leslie drives Crystal home. So once he's dropped Crystal and her brother off, Leslie's now on his own.
No crystal or movie to distract him from the atrocities he had committed earlier in the day. He was completely freaked out. The thought of spending the night in the same house where he had not only murdered his parents, but where their bodies still lay. Initially, he planned to sleep in the car, but it was too cold. So he heads to his bedroom, and in an attempt to drown out his own thoughts, he turns on the radio.
See, that wouldn't work now. So back in the day, you could put the radio on and you could listen to the charts. Be like the top 40.
Top 40, yeah.
Yeah.
Why 40?
I don't know. But now, whenever I put the radio on, and this is no exaggeration, 70% of the time, it's am either talking or ads.
And it's also terrible. When you get the headlines, it's always bad though. You never get some like kind of, you know, whimsical, fucking Big Bertha type story anymore. Yeah.
The following morning, Leslie gets up and heads to church as he normally would. In the afternoon, he drops by his neighbours and asks if he could borrow their shovel before going to Crystal's to spend time with her and her family. That evening, Leslie heads out to the backyard and begins to dig a hole. Once he had done this, he heads down to the basement, over to his father's body, and removes his belt. He ties it around his father's ankles, allowing him more ease for dragging the body back up the stairs.
That's actually pretty smart.
They did say he was very intelligent.
That is actually really smart. I wouldn't have thought of doing that.
He repeats the process with his mother's body. He then lays their bodies in the ground, says a prayer for them, before burying them. Still unable to sleep in the house after what he had done, he shows up at Rose's home and tells her that he's too scared to be in the home alone. So Rose, being the lovely woman that she is, lets Leslie stay the night. As he enters the home, she notices his hands. They were covered in blisters.
Covered in shit. Oh.
The next morning before school, Leslie made an attempt to tie up a few loose ends. He drives to his father's workplace. He opens up for the day. And he also asked one of his father's workers to take over while his father's away. Once he had done this, his plan seemed to be falling into place. And a few days later, Jim came back to the family home, still with no idea what his older brother had done to his parents. So just as things are starting to, like I said, kind of fall into place for Jim, 8 days later, on Sunday the 5th of October, his plans start to unravel. His grandparents arrive for a visit. Now, these were the same grandparents that his parents were supposedly away visiting. The reason his grandparents came to the home was because they had tried to get in contact with the parents and had received no answer. After a few days with their grandchildren, they were starting to wonder, you know, what the fuck is going on? So they called Rose. They thought, you know, if Bill and Opal were going away, surely they would have left instructions for her. Of course they hadn't, and then Rose asked about the whereabouts of the boy's grandfather. And their grandmother had no idea what she was talking about. You see, part of Leslie's cover story was that his parents were away looking for Bill's father, who Leslie had said was senile and had gone missing. So alarm bells are going off for Rose. Fucking red flags everywhere.
Balls everywhere.
Balls flying everywhere. She was already sus of this whole situation. But now she decided to do her own digging. She looked up the train schedule and discovered that there was no such train due at the time that his parents had supposedly left. She'd asked around a few friends and was told of the hostile relationship between Leslie and Opal. And also remember, she had noted Leslie's blistered hands the night he had come to stay. So, of course, by the time the grandparents arrived, Rose was sick of this shit. And on Friday the 10th of October, Rose calls the police. Although Leslie's grandmother didn't want anyone jumping to conclusions, the decision was made by the family to report Bill and Opal missing.
Sorry, but you know the blistered hands thing? I think they're looking into that a bit too much. If I do a bit of graft, I get callous hands.
Yeah, but it was just one of those things that Rose had no, like, just, you know, they were sat having a cup of tea or whatever and she noticed hands were a bit damaged. you know, the skin was a bit broken and blistered. Yeah. But I don't know if she necessarily thought anything of it in that moment. But once you add all the other shit in, then she's kind of like, well, that's out of the usual. You wouldn't usually get that from playing with, you know, with basketball or saxophone
or trombone. Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the usual with the type of activities he did for his hands to be blistered. So she did notice.
Yeah.
The following morning, knowing that Leslie was the last person to see Bill and Opal, detectives pay him a visit. They take Leslie to the police station for questioning, and he breaks down. He tells them everything. They then ask him, quote, "Are you willing to show us where your parents are buried?" To which he replies, "If I have to, I will."
If I have to?
Well, it's not the best thing to go through, is it? But he did do it. He kind of...
Oh, okay. I thought he was like, if I must.
Basically, yeah. He knows what he did was horrific. The last thing he wants to do is revisit the situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, he knows. What can I do? I mean, I've done this. I gotta fucking face the music. That afternoon, Leslie guides the police to the location of his parents' bodies. In the far corner of their backyard, marked by a lilac bush, they begin digging. They unearth a hand, still wearing a bracelet and a watch.
What bush?
Lilac.
Lilac.
Lilac, yeah.
Yeah, lilac.
Lilac.
No, it's lilac.
Lilac.
It's the colour, lilac.
Lilac.
It's not lilac, it's lilac.
It's not lilac.
No, I'm not saying lilac. Lilac.
Lilac.
I know I'm right with this one. Okay. It's the colour of the LEDs now. Lilac.
What? No, that's blue.
Not fucking blue.
That is blue. That is electric blue. Of course, with the commotion and excitement of what is happening, the neighbourhood is out in force.
Of course they are.
This respectable family's home is crawling with police and media. It's going to draw a crowd. So much so that they needed to bring in someone to control the traffic, as others joked about setting up a stand for refreshments.
What?
Yeah.
Making a day of it.
It was reported that someone had made a joke of, you know, oh, we should set up a stand. Like, because it was that big of a thing. It was like, I can't believe this has happened. There's police there. They're digging. They're going to find, like.
Making a joke. Two people have died. They're like, lemonade, come and get your lemonade.
Yeah, I mean, people are shit. What can I say? As morbid curiosity took over and they watched on, one neighbor called out, "Oh, Leslie, how could you do this?" He just looked to her, but remained silent. Once the remains of Bill and Opal...
Oh, he didn't turn and go, with a gun.
Once the remains of Bill and Opal had been recovered, Leslie was charged with first-degree murder. While awaiting trial, Leslie was examined by numerous psychiatrists. They noted his remorse, with one psychiatrist stating, quote, "It is this examiner's opinion that the mother's behaviour towards the youth certainly was a force in helping precipitate his action." All of those who examined Leslie came to the conclusion that he was sane at the time of the murder. While awaiting trial, Leslie wrote a letter of apology to Rose. Quote, "I have learned a great deal since I've been in here, and I wish I knew then what I know now. My parents were wonderful people. This I learned too late, and I'm sorry. How I ever went so wrong, I'll never know. I've got a lot of making up to do." Given Leslie's age and the fact that he had no priors and the nature of his, quote, complex relationship with his mother, Leslie would plead guilty to the reduced charge of second-degree murder. And on the 2nd of June, 1959, Leslie was sentenced to life in prison. However, this is not the end of Leslie's story. This is just the end of part one.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Come on.
Wait, how is this a two-parter?
Because there's more to the story.
But it's in for life.
I've just said, this is not the end of Leslie's story. This is just the end of part one. You're right. You know, I love that. I was writing down, I was like, oh, where can I break this episode into two? I knew it was going to be a two-parter once I'd started writing. Yeah.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, that's a good spot. Let me break that. And as I wrote, this is just the end of part one. What do you think came into my mind?
Don't know.
Tenacious D. This is not the greatest song in the world. This is just a tribute.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking iconic. Love a bit of Jack Black. I hope nothing bad comes out about him.
Nothing will.
No, I hope not.
I actually agree with the second degree murder. Don't you?
If we're going off what he, like they said, the age thing, the no priors, the nature of the relationship with his mother, I mean, and if we're to believe what Leslie said.
Because he said he didn't go up there to kill. It was her antagonizing him what made him pull the trigger. So he didn't grab that gun. That's first degree murder if he went to get that gun to kill his mother.
It's a very hard one to kind of judge. I mean, even like I said, the fact that he is still a child. Essentially, that alone, depending on the country you're in, I mean, you can pretty much get away with murder.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a difficult one to say.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
But you're saying if we're to believe him.
I think.
He was honest about everything else.
No, but you don't know he's being honest about everything else. Of course, from other people's accounts, 100% the relationship was strained. 100%. The brother was getting favorited.
Yeah.
And that caused some resentment. But to what extent is it acceptable? Like, at what point is it Leslie taking it too far? You know, when are his feelings justified versus him needing to take accountability for his actions?
Yeah.
And responsibility for, you know. Yeah. But we will find out more in part two. So,
I can't see how there is a part two. He's in for life.
Well, I can't really spill the beans just yet.
I know. All right, well.
Stick around for part two, lads.
Yeah.
Is he good?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, audit here then. Get the auditor done.
Oddity. Horse diving. To be honest, I don't know how to be any clearer.
Oh, I've seen clips of this.
Have you?
Yeah. Some idiot will sit on an horse and jump off a diving board into a fucking pool.
I mean, not exactly, but yeah, more or less.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, isn't it?
Well, like I said, not exactly, but more or less. So, starting in the late 1800s, horse diving was something to see. And, you know, there wasn't really, you know, shit else to do back then, so it drew massive crowds. The concept was created by William Doc Carver. A simple concept, really. Stupid, but simple. A rider guides a horse up a ramp, onto a platform, and then dives off into the water. I say dive, but the platform would actually tilt, so it was more kind of forcing the horse off the platform.
Ah, that's fucked.
This whole thing is fucked. The platforms would be somewhere between 40 and 60 foot high over a pool of water that was 12 foot deep.
Seems a bit shallow. Fucking hell.
And the horses used for this attraction could be diving up to 4 times a day, 7 days a week. Of course, an incredibly dangerous activity to partake in, There are a few horror stories to come from this, and even a fatality.
I bet there fucking is.
Well, also, God knows how many horses were injured or killed. But, you know, people, especially back then, didn't give a fuck.
Jumping off a diving board with a ton animal from 60 foot into 12 foot of water.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Well, something did happen. On the 17th of February, 1907, in San Antonio, 19-year-old Oscar Smith made his first and last dive.
So he didn't take to it?
Not exactly. After he and the horse dove into the water, the horse emerged, but Oscar did not. Once they had managed to retrieve Oscar's body, they noticed a large bruise over his left eye. It's thought that once in the water, the horse had kicked out, hitting Oscar in the head. Now, Doc, you know, the guy who came up with this attraction, yeah, activity.
Sport.
He denied this and tried to claim that Oscar must have had a heart attack midair.
And it bruised his eye?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not very smart, is he?
I mean, to him, he was trying to protect what he had built. I mean, I'm no way fucking defend him. He's a fucking, you know, he's a whack job.
Yeah.
You know, but that was Doc's explanation for the death of this 19-year-old lad.
See, even I don't have to, you know, strain a muscle to figure that one out.
Horse kicked him in the head.
Yeah.
There's also the story of Sonora Webster Carver. In 1931, she was blinded after her retinas detached upon impact.
Right, okay.
She did continue to dive for another 11 years, though. You know, God loves a trier. There was actually, I think there was a movie made about her.
Sure, that's fascinating.
But it was because she was one of the first female horse divers. And, I mean, the fact that she was blinded and continued to horse dive for over a decade is, you know, it's pretty
I need to watch that. It sounds riveting.
Well, the thing is, I think you're a bit of a bastard if you do this.
Yes.
But it's insane, the whole, you know, blinded and continuing to do it.
Like, I don't mind watching horse racing, but when they start whipping the shit out of them,
I don't like horse racing. No. I'm not about it.
Oh.
No.
But you're Irish.
No, I'm ashamed. I'm shocked and offended by our carry-on. Now, by the 1970s, horse diving started to die out. This was not only down to animal rights activists speaking out, but people just didn't really give a shit about it anymore. There was a brief resurgence in 1993, but it was quickly shut down. So, yeah, that's horse diving for you. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What? I mean, horse diving? What the fuck are you talking about?
You do it on a bull.
Have you seen the platforms and everything that they have? Because you said you've heard of it before.
I thought I'd seen something about it. I thought it was just a diving board and they got the horse to leap off it.
You know I'm sus of a horse at the best of times.
Yeah.
You think I'm climbing up a fucking ramp onto a platform, tilting that big bastard off of it.
Yeah.
Like free falling into water.
You're sitting on a ton.
But I mean, like what happened with Oscar? Once you get into that water, if the horse starts panicking, which I'm sure it probably will be, kick you in the head.
Yeah.
That's the ending.
Well, it happened.
And like I said, never even mind that. Never even mind these fuckers who are choosing to do this. You're forcing this poor fucking horse up a platform and then fucking it off into the water.
We've been forcing horses to do shit for centuries.
No, I can't stand it. I fucking hate it. I mean, like, I don't like horses. It's not that I don't like them. I'm scared of them. I have a healthy respect of this powerful animal. Yeah. I would never want to fucking see one get harmed or whatever, you know? And this, you know, this really fucking grinds my gears. I'm not for it with the horse diving, lads. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey! Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Healthcare is so overwhelming. My doctors rushed through visits. I was billed for things that should be covered, and no one was really listening. I felt lost. That's why I called Solace. They paired me with a trained healthcare advocate who actually knew how to get things done. She helped me find the right doctor, coordinate transportation after surgery, and overturn a medical bill. She even joined my appointments to make sure I got real answers. And the best part, it's covered by Medicare, and they stay with you for as long as you need help. My Solace advocate is always just a phone call or text away.
96% of patients report better care with a Solace advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E health.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.